There are two ways of living. And the scripture describes these to us throughout its length. And they're summed up by the Lord in the reading that we read in Matthew 7 on the Sermon on the Mount, when the Lord says, "Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." The two ways, the easy way, the hard way. The wide gate and the narrow gate. As I said, it's there throughout the scriptures. We could turn to Deuteronomy. Let me read Deuteronomy from Deuteronomy chapter 30. Moses speaks to the people. It's his farewell sermon to them. "See," he says, "I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life." The two ways. Psalm 1 that we just sang is a psalm about the two ways. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." And here in our reading in Galatians, there are the two ways, the same two ways, but they're called here the way of the flesh and the way of the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit. And there are only these two ways. There's no third middle way that you can steer between them. The easy way leading to destruction, the hard leading to life. The way of life and good and the way of death and evil. The way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. And here in Galatians 5, the way of the flesh and the way of the Spirit. And the flesh means our human self, doing it our way. And the Spirit refers, of course, to the Holy Spirit. The way of the flesh. It's characterized by the works of the flesh. There's an inventory of them in verses 19 to 21. And the list is not exhaustive. Paul says, and things like these as well. But it's a list of things that fallen human nature does. It's the default position of every human being. The default position of every human being that ever was and is and will be. It's the result of the fall. And note that they are the works of the flesh, or the works of the self. Meaning that these things and the like are things that fallen human nature will go on churning out as a matter of course. It's like a piece of machinery that's been set up to make a certain component, let's say, and you press the button and off it goes, and of course you need somebody to watch it, but it will just go on and on and on turning out that particular component. So our natural self, our unredeemed self, will go on turning out these works of the flesh. And this, sadly, is the way that is wide and easy that leads to destruction. And sadly, those who enter by it are many. It is the way of self. When we read through this list in Galatians 5, it sounds like an indictment against a criminal. It sounds like war crimes against somebody. But on closer inspection, and we won't look at the list in detail, but on closer inspection, it's a list of things that all human beings are prone to do. And they are things that are observable in greater or lesser degree all around us. And thankfully, the Lord constrains evil. Thankfully, the Lord puts bounds to the workings of the human self so that we are not consumed by each other. And the scripture says that such actions and words and thoughts attract the judgment of God. And in that way, they lead to death and to evil. But we are thankful that there is a remedy for this state of affairs. We can't just leave it there. That would be ever so sad. There is a remedy for this state of affairs. And it is through Christ our Redeemer. For he himself has borne the effects of these works on the cross, dying in our place. And there is liberty for all who believe in him and ask from him forgiveness and life. So the way of the flesh. And then the other way, the way of the Spirit. And in contrast, the way of the Spirit is the way that is spoken of as the way of life throughout all the scriptures. It is simply being a Christian. It is being born again of the Holy Spirit. It's not being led by the Spirit, being of the Spirit, is not being in some special way hyper-spiritual. It's not having some experience of the Holy Spirit, of being a Christian on another plane somehow. It is simply being a Christian, no more and no less. Born again of the Holy Spirit. That's what being led by the Spirit means. It means being a Christian. And the way of life is characterized by the fruit of the Spirit. It's fruit, not works. That's the distinction that the apostle makes here. The fruit will grow and be produced in a person's life when he or she is a Christian. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to produce these fruits. It's not the work of the person himself or herself. Now, let me say straight away that fruit needs certain conditions to be produced. It's not automatic, although we do not produce them ourselves, yet the fruit needs certain conditions for the Holy Spirit to produce these fruit in us. Consider the apple tree in your garden. Some years it will have a bumper crop and you don't know what to do with them all. Other years it will be very meager and you're wondering, will I get any proper apples this year? And you can usually trace back why, to some conditions during the year or so before, why that is so. Perhaps there was wet weather at the time of flowering and there were no bees about, so no pollination. Perhaps the winter was too warm. Perhaps there was no rain at the right time or too much rain at the wrong time. Whatever the conditions, it's the work of the tree to produce the apples, but yet it needs the right conditions to do it. So with the fruit of the Spirit. It's not your work to produce the fruit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in you. But, and I've written it in bold letters in my notes, but you have to provide the right conditions, as it were. And these are things like attending to the means of grace. And the means of grace are just things like coming to Sunday services and hearing the word and worshipping God together. They're things like reading your scriptures, praying by yourself, fellowship. True fellowship is the means of grace by which the Lord works for each other. He speaks to us through each other. Not grieving the Holy Spirit. Providing the right conditions is—it's a bit like the parable of the sower as well. The seed that falls into the good soil will produce fruit because it has the right conditions. And Jesus tells another little parable about the seed growing. He says it just grows by itself. The farmer goes to bed at night and wakes up in the morning, and he doesn't really know what's happening to the seed, but he can go out and he can look out on his fields and see the crop growing. He knows not how. Providing the right conditions. It's like what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. The parable of the sower. The seed falling into a good and an honest heart. It is to be born again of the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit are there listed for us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Let me read these for us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, he says. There's no penalty for doing things like that, he says. Against such there is no law. Notice that it's the fruit singular. These individual characteristics, because they are marks of Christian character, these individual characteristics can't be produced in isolation. It's like going to the fruit market and saying, I'll have some apples, I'll have some pears, but I don't want any lemons and oranges today. We can't go to God and pick around like in the fruit market and say, I'll have love, I'll have joy, but gentleness and peace, maybe another time. We can't do that. It is the work of the Spirit, essentially building the character of Christ in us. And you can't have a Christ who is not gentle and not patient. You see, we get the whole lot or nothing at all. We cannot pick and choose. We can't have a Christ without patience and gentleness. We can't be Christians if we say we're not terribly interested in one of these fruits of the Spirit, but we'll concentrate on something else, concentrate on another one. I'll concentrate on loving, but I'll be patient tomorrow. You can't do it. It's the fruit singular of the Spirit. So these two ways, there are two directions in life, each with its own destination. The way of the flesh, the way of the Spirit. But we don't lose the old nature when we become Christians, not entirely. It is there, it is subdued, but there is battle against it to the end of our lives. But it is not the direction of our lives. The flesh is not the direction of our lives. The Spirit is. But as a result of us still having the remnants of the old self with us, there is this warfare that arises within us. It's there in verses 16 to 18. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to. There's a war going on inside of us, and don't we know it? Don't we experience it from day to day? The very things I want to do, I find myself not able to do or not doing. And the very things that I know I shouldn't do and don't really want to do, oh dear, I trip over every day over them. There's a battle going on within us. And if you experience this battle within you, then praise the Lord, because it means that the Holy Spirit is at work within you as well as the remnants of the old flesh. You are a Christian. You are led by the Holy Spirit. And as I said, this is not a mystical experience. It is simply saying that Christians go the way of the Holy Spirit. They are led. They go the way of the Holy Spirit. And as such, we are not condemned by the law. This is what not being under the law means. It means we are not condemned by the law. We still do sin. But as Christians, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Jesus has paid it all. Well, as Christians, we experience this conflict. The old self simply does not atrophy and fall off. Look at verse 24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. The flesh, the old self, it doesn't just wither away and fall off. It needs to be dealt with. It needs to be crucified, in the words of the verse 24 here. Now, it needs to be killed. Now, I'm not advocating self-harm here. It's just what Paul says in another place, in Romans 6. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And all, we can turn that round, all who are sons and daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God. The two ways again. Look at the order of verse 24. What does it say there? And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. That's the order. Belonging first, then dealing with our sinful self. It's not the other way round. To try to reverse the order is to try to become Christians by our own good works. It is being a Christian first and then dealing with the remains of the sinful self in us. Not the other way around. We can't do that. But does it mean that Christians are no longer obliged to obey the law of God? Yes, we are obliged in everything that pertains to Christian believers. We're not obliged to obey the food laws of the Old Testament. We're not obliged to obey the bylaws of Israel in Old Testament times. But we are obliged to obey all things that pertain to us as Christian believers. Paul has emphasized this in verses 13 and 14. For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's the commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that word serve there in verse 13, it means to slave away at something. Slave away at being loving. Slave away at serving each other. Yes, we should obey the law of God. But we do it as Christians, not in order to gain God's approval and to become Christians, but as Christians, we obey. I said there were two ways only, not three ways, not some kind of middle way. But let me say that I believe there is a subset of the broad way that leads to destruction. It's not a third way, but it's a subset of this way. It's this. It's to walk a narrow path within the broad way. It's to keep a straight line and a very narrow line within the broadness of the way that's stretching out on either side of us. It's like going to a main road and just walking down the lines at the side of the road. It's a wide road, but you're only walking down a very narrow section of it. That's a subset of the way that leads to death. Do you see what it leads to? It leads to the narrow keeping of the law, but without the Holy Spirit. It's still walking in the flesh. It's not being led by the Spirit. And in the end, trying to behave rightly by one's own power, without any reference to the power of God. Indeed, without being a Christian, accepting culture and external things, it's like walking a narrow path down the broad way to be avoided. So there are two ways, and it's vital to know which way we're on and to choose the right way. We enter the right way by believing in Christ, by accepting his sacrifice on the cross for us, and by the Holy Spirit living within us. We are made alive by the Spirit. We produce the fruit of the Spirit, but we must battle against the remains of the flesh, the old self in us. And if we are made alive by the Spirit, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for your word, and thank you, O Lord, that throughout your word there is this description of the two ways, the way of life and the way of death. And we pray, Lord, that we may walk fully in that way of life. Yes, Lord, we cannot do it without your Holy Spirit. We cannot do it without Christ. But we pray that we may walk in it and that the fruit of the Spirit will grow in us. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.